Scripture reading this morning will come from Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, and then we'll skip over to verses 18 through 23. Scripture reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, and then continued verses 18 through 23. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verses 18 through 23. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30."
Thank you, Brother Jason, for that reading from the Gospel of Matthew and our question for this morning, "How's your hearing?" We are so blessed to have a very large number of visitors with us today. We are delighted that you're here. Be careful what you say about me. Many of them are my friends, longtime friends. They love me and I know it, and I love them too. Please take the opportunity to express appreciation for their being here today. Introduce yourself to them. I like to share my brethren with my other brethren, so I want you to get to know them and for them to get to know you. Thank you for being in our assembly today to think on spiritual things and to worship and praise our Father in heaven for his wonderful sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. How's your hearing today? The parable of the sower. Since the spread of the gospel demands preachers and teachers using words, there's a great burden placed on the shoulders of anyone who would proclaim a message of God. James makes very clear in his short letter in the New Testament that stricter judgment would be upon the one who chooses to be a teacher of God's word in James 3 and verse 1. Even Job in the Old Testament reveals that when we talk about God, he is listening to our words and examining them, weighing them very carefully. Thus, as preachers and teachers, we can make sense of Paul's charge to young Timothy, his protege in the faith, his son in the faith, to preach the word in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, and to stand firm and hold the traditions which you were taught in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. But there's also a great burden placed upon the shoulders of one who is listening to the gospel being preached and taught. Jesus firmly warned in Luke 8 and verse 18, "Firmly, take care how you listen." Of his generation, Jesus said, with their ears they can barely hear, to use the English Standard Version of Matthew 13 and verse 15. The rejection of Stephen's message in the book of Acts was attributed to the fact that those who heard his words covered their ears. They stopped their ears so that they would not hear what he was saying. Realizing that men would have various reactions to the gospel of the kingdom, and that those reactions would often be a reflection of how they listened, Jesus then told this parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, in Matthew 13. And interestingly, there are two other gospel writers that include the parable as well. Mark does in Mark chapter 4, and Luke does in Luke chapter 8. It's good to read those together, to think about them together, because of the details that each of the gospel writers include and the light that sheds on our understanding, to be able to see exactly what Jesus is indicating by the parable, how profitable it is. The words of this parable were aimed at both those who would teach the Word of God in the Lord's day and following the Lord during the days of the apostles and during the days of the inspired teachers of New Testament times on whom the apostles laid their hands and imparted some spiritual gift, but also for those who would teach and preach the gospel today. The principles are still true. A rejection of the message or a failure to remain true to that message may have very little, if anything, to do with the manner in which it was presented. That may come as a shock to some people in thinking about, well, it's all about presentation. But not really so. More times than not, failure to obey the Lord's instructions or failure to remain faithful to the Lord's instructions has as much, if not everything, to do with the hearer and the heart of the hearer. So how's your hearing this morning? How do you hear the Word of God being presented? The man who can hear the Word of God with clarity is the man who has prepared his heart to hear it. That's the sum, basic, total, heavyweight message of this parable. It has to do with the heart. And it's a parable simple enough for the common laborer of the Lord's day to understand what he's talking about, because they were so familiar with sowing seed on various types of ground in order to produce a crop. James says that our reception of the Word is vital to saving our souls in James 1 and verse 21. The parable we are looking at today helps us to understand how we are and how we are not to hear or receive God's message. We're told in Luke's account in Luke 8 and verse 11 that the seed is the Word of God. The sower in this case could be the Son of Man. Or later, after his departure into heaven, it could be the apostles. Or later than that, it could be any gospel preacher or teacher. It could be you teaching someone across your kitchen table, your neighbor, your friend, your co-worker. The seed is the Word of God. There's no corruption in the seed. There's no fault of the seed. It's good seed. And it is the Word of God in Luke 8 and verse 11. In short, the point of the parable is really prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Take stock of your heart when it comes to what you hear with the Word of God. Without a heart that is fertile as a farmer's field, the Word of God will not take root, it will not spring up, and it will not thrive, and it will not produce fruit. Like the great restorer of Israel's return, Ezra, we must prepare our hearts to seek the Lord and to seek His Word in an attempt to put those teachings into practice in our lives, in Ezra 7 and verse 10 in the Old Testament. So Jesus stated that the only heart that is ready and willing to hear the Word is, in Luke's account, Luke 8 and verse 15, an honest and good heart. And we'll have more to say about those two points, honest and good, in just a few minutes. In contrast to the hearts that are honest and good, Jesus presents three other basic types of hearts that are illustrated by the different kinds of soil that is there when the sower goes forth casting his seed. Let's look at those three different other heart conditions that make hearing and receiving and maintaining the word an impossibility. The first one is the roadside soil. And Luke calls this, in Luke 8 and verse 5, the roadside soil, when he says, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up." The first of the three other heart conditions, it is a hard and calloused heart with little or no interest in spiritual things, and it's represented by the roadside soil. A soil that on the edges of their vineyards and on the edges of their gardens, it was the place where people could walk. It was the dividing land between your garden and my garden. Travel was free during that time, and they would walk in certain ways to not step right through the middle of a man's garden, but on the edges of it. And those paths would be traveled by men and by animals, and the soil would become very packed and very hard, so that if seed found its way there, it wouldn't penetrate the soil readily. It would stay on top of that hard, packed down soil. So too are the hearts of many. Their lives are full of worldly ambition, and hearts are completely unconcerned about spiritual things, or have heard lessons from the Word of God so many times that are really intended to cut them to the heart, but it has little or no effect because they've hardened their heart against the things of God. They listen, but the true message of sin, of hope, of heaven never really sway them. Why is that so? Many listen without any intention of ever changing. The birds represent the evil one who's called the devil in Luke 8 and verse 12, who snatches away the word from the hearts of those people who have hardened their heart against God. Their condition, therefore, is one that Paul writes to the Corinthians about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Their heart is like the one whom Satan has blinded. While Satan contributes to their blindness, it's really brought about by their own hardness of heart. Are you like the roadside soil today? Is your heart hardened against the Word of God? Have you heard the Word of God so many times that it means little or nothing to you? Are you not a believer today because you've hardened your heart against the things of God? You may be in the process of hardening your heart today. If you hear the Lord's invitation, if you hear His Word, and you so easily dismiss it, and you become comfortable at dismissing it, and you begin to develop this habit of dismissing it, and it will mean less and less to you through the years. Are you developing a hard heart today? You are at risk for Satan's deception in some form to blind you and not allow the Word of God to have its intended effect in your life because you've hardened your heart against it. Think about that if you are that kind of soil, if that is your heart this morning. Secondly, you see, and illustrated by the parable, the rocky soil. Mark, in his account, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, puts it this way. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. This second type of soil is described as rocky or stony. It's not what you and I would immediately imagine if we think of, that ground that we tilled up for our garden is rocky, because it has various rocks and stones scattered throughout it. It's not that type of situation. But rather, what this parable is describing is rocky soil from the standpoint of the soil on top of a layer of bedrock is very, very thin. And when the seed hits that soil, the roots can't go deeper than that layer of bedrock when it seeks out the moisture. And the plant may spring up, and being a young, tender plant, in the heat of the sun and the roots not able to reach that deep into the soil, it will spring up, and the heat will cause the plant to wither away and die. Many won to Christ through the Word of God are similar to this type of soil. Their lack of depth comes from a lack of continually hearing the Word of God. Those who delight in the Word of the Lord will find such depth and strength that they will be like, according to the psalmist in Psalm 1, firmly planted trees by streams of water. If they do not meditate in that law, then a lack of depth and nourishment will eventually lead to their downfall. The problem with this type of listening is that it is not sustained. It is not continuous. It is not persistent. So that when troubles arise, when persecutions come, when Satan throws temptations our way in an attempt to overthrow our souls, we cannot endure. Stumbling occurs. And here's where we learn that an emotional reception of the Word of God likely will not last. It will be without strong foundation based on the Word, and one will not be able to withstand tribulation, persecution, discomfort from family members. What do you mean going to church? What do you mean I need to change the way I live to please God? Those kind of persecutions arise, and the one whose faith is based on emotion will not be able to stand. He will not be able to endure. He will not have the strength of faith to do so. Are you like the rocky soil today? Take stock of your heart. If you responded to the gospel at one time in your past, but are not being grounded in the faith, if you're not being strengthened, if you're not growing spiritually, so those roots of strength can reach deep in your heart, likely you will fall away before you meet your Maker in judgment. A third type of soil that's described is called thorny soil. Mark, in his account, chapter 4 and verse 7, puts it this way. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Most would see the need to remove thorns before you plant a garden. But sometimes thorns come from seeds, don't they? And sometimes the thorns may be somewhat insignificant when you're sowing that seed, planting that garden. Maybe you don't take stock of that. Maybe you don't realize that the soil that you're sowing the seed in does contain so many weed seeds. So many thorny seeds. Maybe you don't realize that. Sadly, the hearts of some converts are the same. They hear and apply the portion of the gospel that provides access to Christ's blood, but they do not continue to hear and continue to use the Word of God as a way of fending off the allurements, the advertisements, the enticements of the world, and are not strong enough to push away those temptations when the world says, come back. Come back to me. Enjoy my pleasures and my goods. By not uprooting those desires for deceitful riches, for pleasures of life, for cares of the world, that person eventually gives in and submits and surrenders to the pressures around them. The cares of the world can cause us to be unprepared, according to Luke's gospel. They can detract our minds and take our attention away from what's really important in life. We can become so involved in the cares of the world that we spend no time with God's Word, no time in prayer, and no time doing deeds of good for our neighbors and for our brothers and sisters. The deceitfulness of riches diverts our attention away from God, and it urges us to have feelings of self-sufficiency. And I can make it on my own and by myself. Maybe we need some hard times in this country. Maybe we need some difficult circumstances so people will begin to realize we can't make it by ourselves. We need God in our lives. Paul warned Timothy of the dangers of the deceitfulness of riches in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, when he said this, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare of many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." One so concerned can wander away from the faith. He can fall away. And there are the pleasures of life that divert our minds from the things of the Spirit, things which wage war against the Spirit in our lives. The flesh. There's a war going on between Spirit and flesh. And we need to be strong to fight that war and to be successful in the battle. We can't do that with this type of heart. Sowing to the flesh results in corruption, not eternal life. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. "And these hearts do not hear the word of God and do not understand and do not use it as a defense against the pull of the world, and thus they are choked out." Does that describe you today? Of a heart that cannot grow spiritually because of concern for so much going on in this life? Is that you? There are people who reach a certain limit, a point, and quit. Not that they necessarily quit attending services many times, but they quit bearing fruit. They quit the good works that should characterize every Christian. Are you like that soil among the thorns? If you responded to the gospel at one time, but you realize that the important things in your life, the spiritual things and the things of God, are just being choked out of your life because of your preoccupation with the cares and the pleasures and the things going on in this short temporal life, you will not be able to bear much fruit. And remember what Jesus said about branches that don't bear fruit in John 15, 1 through 6. God takes it away. And it is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. Fruitless branches. We never want to be that. What we really want, when we look at our own hearts and how our hearts are positioned to receive the Word of God, what we really want is the soil described at the end of the parable, the good soil. The seed in the good soil, Luke writes in chapter 8 and verse 15, "These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." The soil represents the man who hears the word and understands it, Matthew says in his account, chapter 13 and verse 23. Who hears the word and accepts it, Mark says in chapter 4 and verse 20. And he indeed bears fruit and brings forth plentifully in Matthew 13 and verse 23. People with a good soil are like the Bereans, who were noble-minded, who searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that they were taught were indeed true to the book and found in the Scriptures. They were noble people. They received the Word with great eagerness. These people were good-hearted, honest-hearted folks. People with a good soul, a heart, are described even in the pages of the Old Testament in Psalm 1. "Now, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." That's the parable of the sower in the Old Testament. Psalm 1, the first three verses. What is it to hear the word of God in an honest and good heart. What kind of heart is an honest heart, first? It's deserving of esteem and admiration in this parable because it's an honest heart is fair. It's right. It's honorable conduct that proceeds from this heart. An honest heart is free from any kind of deception, whether it's self-deception or deception perpetrated on other people. This honest heart does not contain deception. It's truthful. It's genuine. It's humble. It's respectable. It's marked by integrity. It's upright. It's frank. It's sincere and it's innocent. Opposite of this heart is a person who's really not honest with himself. And until we are honest with ourselves, we will not likely be honest with God or other men. Does the Bible teach baptism for the remission of sins? Can you plainly read it in the Scriptures? Why do you fight against it? You're not intellectually honest by doing that. When you read in the Bible that there is one church, do you argue against that? Do you fight against it? Or do you accept it out of an honest heart? Accepting, yes, that's fair, that's right, that's what the Lord said. Even though your inclinations may be, I really don't want to accept that. The honest heart looks and it sees what God says and he accepts it even when it's difficult and even when it's not popular and even when it causes persecution. It takes honest behavior to really be a Christian. No amount of deception will ever fool God. An honest heart and also a good heart. This is the heart of praiseworthy character, commendable virtue, doing always what is just and right. This is the heart that is the perfect receptacle for God's word, because it is a heart that is not ruled by prejudice. It is not ruled by things that are dark and evil. Instead, this heart is ever willing to come to the light, that this person's works may be manifest before God, that they are righteous in God's sight. John 3 and verse 21. Good men are not only willing to test and examine, to prove themselves whether they are in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, they likewise respect God's admonition to prove all things and examine everything carefully in order that they may hold fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Good men are willing to make whatever changes are necessary to put them right with God. That's all that matters in an honest and good heart. Needed changes are not hindered by pride. They're not hindered by loyalty to family, friends, or tradition. Nothing is more important to the honest and good heart than truth. And God has the truth. It's sown in the seed of the kingdom. And what kind of fruit will one bear? There are different kinds. The fruit of winning souls to Christ, practical holiness, sharing material things, the fruit of the Spirit as described in Galatians 5, the fruit of good works that Christians involve themselves in, the fruit of praise and thanksgiving, other kinds of things that are mentioned in the New Testament. This is a summary of what sort of fruits those are that come about when that good and honest heart receives that good word of God, that good seed, and brings forth fruit. These are things that are characteristic of that heart. Now, where are you this morning? Are you like this honest and good heart? Are you like this good soul? If you responded to the gospel and are bearing fruit, then you have demonstrated several important things. You have demonstrated that you have an honest and good heart, and you've received the word of God and you're striving to live by it and produce fruit. You've come to understand the word and you've been keeping it with patience, because it takes a lot of patience. a lot of endurance to live as a Christian in an ungodly world. And so the Word of God has been able to produce its intended effect in you. And your life is blessed tremendously as a result. So we ask the question this morning, how's your hearing? How are you hearing the Word of God? The value of this parable becomes clearer in the light of Jesus' explanation, for by it we can see ourselves as we really are in terms of how we receive the Word of God into our lives. Is your heart so callous to spiritual things that you have no interest in the one who gave his life for you on the cross? Have you received the Word but are failing to put down roots? Are you utilizing the Word of God as a defense mechanism against the temptations of Satan and the lure of the wickedness of this world? Do you hear with an honest and good heart? Remember, it's the unwillingness of man to see and hear and understand that brought about the Lord's warning in Matthew 13:13-15. How's your hearing today? You examine. You decide. You make the decision. And if we can help you to walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you came in, we'd be delighted to do that. How are you hearing? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Don't walk away from His commands as a believer. Confess Him before men. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Raised to walk in newness of life as a Christian, as a fruit bearer, in demonstration of that good and honest heart. We can help you with that today. We'd be delighted to. And if we can, please come to the front while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.